Well, good morning. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church. It is good to see you here with us this morning. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. This is Clay's Memorial Weekend for the cemetery, so it's nice to have those visiting with us this morning. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people, praise his holy name. We're going to sing his praises this morning as we gather together. I'm just going to tell y'all that I'm still kind of riding on the Easter high. We're still praising our risen Savior. But also, too, with this being Memorial Sunday, this first hymn we're going to sing, it covers both celebrations. Victory in Jesus. We can sing and celebrate the victory that he gives us, but there's also a verse in there, and it talks about us singing the song of victory when we're in heaven. So we can celebrate both today, the Easter, our risen Savior, and that one day we will be with him. So if you're willing and able, we're going to sing. It's 352 in the hymnal. The words will be on the screen. You're welcome to stand with me. You're welcome to remain seated. But let's just remember the victory that our Jesus brought to us through Calvary. Blood. Amen. Let's give him a clap offering this morning. You may be seated. Brother Fred, would you like to open us in prayer this morning?
Father God, we do claim the victory today. And Lord, we thank you for winning that victory over Satan, over death, over everything that's evil. You are victorious, and you are our victorious Lord this morning. And we come this way to praise you as our Savior and as our Lord, as the Son of God, as the Savior of all mankind. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit that you sent for us will be in this place today in a mighty way, Lord, that he will convict hearts, that he will give us a new beginning today of serving you. Give us the courage and boldness to step out in your name. And Lord, may everything we do today be for the honor and glory of your name. And it's in that name that we pray this morning. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.
Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. This morning, as I was thinking about it being memorial here, and thinking about all those from my family and from our church family that have gone on, and thinking about the great cloud of witnesses, the lives of those who have impacted us, and thinking on them, and also as we meditate on the better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, it's easy to feel like traveling on. Easy to long for the days that we can join that great cloud of witnesses. So our next hymn this morning is number 655, I Feel Like Traveling On, and we're going to sing all verses. You're welcome to stand, you're welcome to remain seated.
My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Its glittering towers that shine out shine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others see come home below. I feel like traveling on. Which flames devour or waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Catch my breath. So our announcements this morning, we have on Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m., our breakfast group meet at Jack's on Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11 there in Trustful. Wednesday night Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall, studying the Book of Acts. On Sundays, we have Sunday school at 10 a.m. and our worship service at 11 here in the Worship Center. Coming up Friday, May 16th at 6:30 p.m. will be our next game night, and that will be over in the Fellowship Hall. Our ministry opportunities, mission opportunities, we are supporting Three Hots in a Cot, collecting items for them, for the veterans who live there. They're in Chalkville, collecting the items they typically use. There's a list on the information table if you would like to know what that is. And there's a box in the back that we're collecting those items. I see we've got a full box now, an overflowing box. So thank y'all for supporting Three Hots in a Cot. We're also collecting items for our food pantry. There's also a list on the information table and a collection box in the back for our food pantry recipients. So Brother Fred was letting me know this morning the short-term mission trip to Haiti has been filled up. There's no more slots left. So we can be in prayer for them and be in prayer for those that they will be ministering to. And I said Haiti is Jamaica. I knew as soon as I said Haiti that was not right. It's a short-term mission trip to Jamaica. Upper rooms are on the back information table for you to pick up and use. May and June are back there. Our announcements go out via email on Friday mornings. If you have any, and also our prayer list is in that same email. If you have anything you would like to add or change on the prayer list or any announcements, just let Cindy know. You can jot her a note, send her an email at clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com or call and leave a message on the office phone. Well, now's our time that we spend just a little bit of time in prayer with the Lord. Let's go to him this morning in gratefulness for all of those that we know in our lives that came before us and led the way for us to be here this morning. Let's just spend some time in prayer with the Lord silently, and then I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning with praise in our hearts and on our lips as we sing your praises this morning. Lord, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever and ever. And we lift your name on high this morning. We come to you with grateful hearts for all that you are and all that you do. Lord, you take what the enemy meant for good and for evil, and you turn it to good. We lift up all of our prayer requests to you this morning in expectation of your good to shine through all of these situations, for your will to be done, Lord. We joyfully offer these tithes and offerings to you this morning. We ask that you bless others for your glory and for the growth of your kingdom here on earth and in heaven. Show us, Lord, how to be your hands and your feet to the world. May your glory be seen in this place. May your glory be seen in our lives. May your glory be seen throughout this world, Lord. It's in the name of our risen Savior that we pray. Amen. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will sacrifice a thank offering to you. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. May we join together as we all glorify his name as we sing My Tribute. It's hymn number 35 in the hymnal, and the words will be on the screen. You're welcome to stand or remain seated.
First thing Oscar said to me this morning, you've been working in the yard again. How do you know? Got your cane. Oh, I hope I get rid of that thing, okay? Good morning. Good to see all of you here, all of you here that are here or visiting with us. Good to have you. We're in the middle, well, actually in the first, early on, in the study of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. We've made it as far as chapter 6 in Matthew's Gospel, and we took a couple of weeks for Palm Sunday and Easter out, but we're back in. Last week we started looking at the Lord's Prayer, or you might call it the Disciples' Prayer. This morning we'll be looking at the second sentence there. If you want to turn in your Bibles to that, chapter 6. Little story. When I was a young boy, I loved going barefoot. And I loved playing outside. Our old house, I had one of those houses that had three rooms and a path. You know what I'm talking about? Amen? Back up was high off the ground. And I'd get under the house. The dirt was real soft and always cool under there. And I'd play trucks, you know. I'd build roads, I'll build bridges and tunnels, you know. But we got a little older. I started playing cowboys and Indians. Cowboys always won, right? And then I started playing war. And the Marine Corps always won then. Then I went to elementary school. It was great. In the first grade, I was able to kiss Diane Arnold. I don't know if she remembers that, but I do. But, you know, back then that was yucky, you know. My school, they put in or built a concrete slab out to the side of the school. And you could play games and skate. Wow, I enjoyed that. They let us skate during play period. Now, I don't think they have that anymore, but we had play period. And sometimes they'd even let us skate after lunch. Remember the skates that fit on the bottom of your shoes, you know? Did you have a skate key? Either you had it in your pocket or you wore it in a chain around your neck. Those were great times. Except for Jerry Dierman. He was the fastest. Nobody could outskate Jerry. But it was a time of innocence, a time of just having fun with your friends, eating hot dogs, drinking Coca-Colas out of that 7-ounce glass bottle, going over to the drugstore in downtown West Blockton, Alabama, and sitting on those high stools and getting your milkshake. Then came high school. I thought it couldn't get any better than the elementary school was. But I was wrong. High school was great, especially because in high school, they put the two schools together, Woodstock and West Blockton, and we became one school. And boy, there were some good-looking girls came from Woodstock. I remember Linda Nelson, Carolyn Hutchins, and Linda Williams. Wow. And by that time, kissing wasn't yucky anymore. But it wasn't just the girls. It was the baseball, the basketball, and for 3 weeks, the football. That's another whole story to tell. Maybe another sermon about that. You know, it was like a dream. I loved going to school. Just hanging around with all my friends. In those days, you know, life was filled with wonder. Things were innocent back then. There were good times, and those good times seemed so endless. Just having fun, hanging out. Loved it. It was like a dream that you know, you were having. Then I went to college. It started out great. I played in the million-dollar band, went to all the ball games, bowl games, you know. Played a little baseball, although I never got to bat in a single game. I was always down in the dugout warming up the pitchers. I was a catcher. And then one day, I woke up from the dream. I was at what was known back in those days at Alabama, the soup store. Many of you know about Alabama, know that's where all the everything happened. But your mailboxes were there, and I opened my mailbox one day, and I found a letter from one of my closest girlfriends. And I began to read that letter, and my eyes started leaking. Boys don't cry, right? There was news that one of my best friends, all through high school, had been killed in Vietnam. And for the first time in my life, I realized that this life is a broken place. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Since then, that time, the world's brokenness has become almost like a settled fact in my heart and my soul. Cancer took my oldest son. Hurricanes have destroyed. Pandemic, the violence, the injustice. And yes, we still got war. There's so much tragedy and loss, trauma that we feel, pain, sorrow. Something had to have gone terribly wrong because it wasn't the world that I grew up in. Now, I can't remember a time that I didn't have faith in God. But life had changed. And sometimes not for the better. I can remember times when I wasn't even sure how to pray about anything. That dream had faded. And my life had met with reality. But thanks be unto God. I remembered my Jesus, the man full of all sorrows, who was acquainted with grief, who knows what it's like to live in this old broken down world. He lived it. And he knows how to pray his way through it. That's why I love this prayer. This morning, Jesus is going to teach us, like he taught his disciples and followers, and like he can teach us today, how to pray our way through all the brokenness of this life. Chapter 6, verse 9. But Buddy's going to put that on them. Let's stand up, okay? So often, we just recite the Lord's Prayer. It becomes a habit, and we don't pay real close attention to the Word. So, Buddy's got them on the screen for us. And let's to read and pray together these words. Jesus says, pray then like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to focus on just one sentence out of verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've got four questions for us this morning. First one, what is a kingdom? The second one is, where has it gone? And then question three is, when will it come? And the fourth question and final question for this morning is, why pray for it? Let's pray. Father, I am absolutely nothing without you. Lord, but with you everything is possible. Lord, just let the words of my mouth, Lord, be acceptable in your sight. Because God, you are my rock and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. First question, what is a kingdom? Jesus instructs us, pray, your kingdom come. What exactly does that mean? Well, in most simple, straightforward sense, the kingdom of God is the reign of God. It's the place or location where God reigns as king. It's his domain. David wrote in Psalm 103, verse 19, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." Amen. We see that verse, it's the language of reigning. The king on his throne and reigning over his kingdom. And that kingdom is the kingdom of God. And so wherever God reigns as king, there his kingdom is. Another thought is that God's kingdom is the realm over which he has say, the domain in which his will is completely carried out. So whatever the will of God, or wherever, not whatever, but wherever the will of God is done, there the kingdom is. In another sense, we all have a bit of the kingdom, don't we? We have a little domain over which we can exercise our authority in our life. You have your own space, right? Your own belongings. An area over which you exercise the will. Now, men, I know it's not complete will, okay? But we're territorial, aren't we? That's mine. Even had one of my kids put on his door one time, "Keep out." Daughter said, "Stay off my bed, you know. That's my purse. Those are my roller skates." That's kingdom language, okay? When you talk that way. We all have a kingdom. It's a part of what it means to be created in the image of God. We're created for dominion, to keep and cultivate our little space in the world, to wield, C.S. Lewis said, our little tridents. That's our kingdom impulse. It's reflective of God, who is king, who rules all and is in all. So we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're asking God to extend his reign of rule, to establish it on earth and to establish it in us. We're asking that the range of God's effective will, Lord, extend it to this world. You see, in heaven, everything is just as God wants it. And we're asking God, make it the same way down here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the logic behind all this, of these phrases, is cause and effect. You see? May your kingdom come with the result that your will on earth will be done. You see, the problem is that heaven and earth right now is out of sync. In heaven, all is well. On earth, not so much. In heaven, God's will is done perfectly. But on earth, not so much. So our prayer is, Father, would you sync the two? Boy, a technological term I used. Isn't that great? Would you bring the rule and perfection of heaven down here to earth with us? Would you make everything right and whole again? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, it's interesting that Jesus is telling us to pray this. It implies something. It implies that God's kingdom is not here, that it's absent. That's why it has to come. Jesus tells us to pray. Your will be done. But that also implies that His will is not being done, right? So while the Bible states back in, I read to you earlier in Psalm 103, that God is the King of all things. Paul also states it in the New Testament. In Ephesians, the very first chapter, he says, God works all things according to the counsel of His will. Now, while all those things are true, this prayer assumes that this world that we live in is operating outside of the rule of God. Maybe even operating contrary to the will of God. Then, if we are being taught by Jesus to pray, Your kingdom come, then it must be missing. So the second question is, where has it gone? Where has God's kingdom gone? Well, the Bible gives us the answer. If you look at the story of man's decision to sin against God, you'll discover where our kingdom, God's kingdom, has been hijacked by rebels. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was perfect. There was perfect peace and harmony, and all things were right as God's will reigned. God's will was being done. He was King and Creator of all. But then came the rebellion. It even started with the angels when Satan decided he wanted to be God. He led a rebellion against God. And because of that, he was cast out of heaven. And ever since then, Satan has been hell-bent on warring against God, trying to destroy all that God holds dear. But Satan's greatest success, if you can call it that, was when he convinced humanity, Adam and Eve, created in God's image, remember, to join him in the rebellion. He tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve, to disobey God. He got them to realize they wanted to become like God. Eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did, and they fell. They fell into sin. They fell into rebellion. They fell into darkness. So Satan hijacked this world to become his kingdom. and sinful humanity fell. We fell under His dominion. Oh no, preacher, God is still in control. Yes, He is. But just remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians? He refers to Satan as the God, little g, of this world. And Jesus, in John's gospel, calls Satan the ruler of this world. Remember when Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness? If you want to read that story back in Luke chapter 4. Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if only he would bow down and worship him. Now, it was a legitimate offer. Satan had hijacked this world, and he was offering to give it back to Jesus if only he would bow down to him and worship him. It's a fact. This world originally was designed for beauty under the kingdom of God. But it's everything but. Why? Because it's been hijacked by Satan. It's fallen under Satan's dominion. And we are part of his rebellion ourselves. Every time that we disregard what God says, every time we choose to do what we want to do instead of God's way, you're participating, we're participating in that rebellion against God. Too often, we take our God-given lives and we hijack them for ourselves, for us. And we exile God, the rightful King. And we try to crown ourselves in His place. And since this world is kicked out, the source of all life, we find ourselves dying inside and out. We find ourselves captive to sinful desires. And we find ourselves enslaved to the ways of Satan. And then we find ourselves dominated by fear. Fear of everything. Even fear of death. Oh, to be free. Free again. I promise you, this is not the way it's supposed to be. How did the prayer start off? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We desperately need the kingdom of God to come. So the next question is, when? When, Lord? When will it come? Well, in one sense, and hang in there with me, the kingdom of God never really left. Now, this is very complicated theologically. But I'm going to give it my best shot today, okay? I propose to you, the kingdom of God really never left. God's kingdom is forever. In agreement with that statement? Psalms 145, verse 13 says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." So, all the rebellion of our lives of Satan has in no way subverted that sovereign rule of God. God still remains seated on His throne. Someone said He's unmovable, unshakable, unequaled. Amen? Were you aware that Satan's on a leash? He's only given a little amount of time, a limited range, which he's left to run amok in our society. God never, not even for one moment, has He abdicated His throne, given up His throne, or His rule. So in a sense, He never left. In another sense, the kingdom has come when Jesus arrived. We studied this earlier, didn't we? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. Jesus says, I'm offering it to you. Just reach out and take it. Take my hand, follow me into this abundant kingdom that I'm offering you. Luke says in chapter 11, verse 20, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus' miracles, they were evidences that He is indeed Messiah and that the kingdom is arrived. As Jesus said to John the Baptist, when John was wondering, was Jesus really Messiah? Jesus said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. That's kingdom coming. So in Jesus, in His ministry, in His miracles, the kingdom is coming into this world. Luke 17, 21 says, behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Never was it more clearly displayed than in Jesus' death, His resurrection, and His ascension. It says, for in this, Jesus going to the cross, Jesus rising again, and Jesus ascending to the Father's right hand, sin was defeated. Satan was defeated. He was conquered. That victory we talked about, it happened. And death itself is undone forever. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28, verse 18 says, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. You hear that? All authority. What does that leave out? Nothing. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the resurrected and exalted Son of God. He did ascend, and He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. God told Him, come, my Son, sit by my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That verse is used all the way from Psalms through the New Testament in Acts, in Corinthians, in Hebrews, many times. The point is, in Jesus, the kingdom of God has come. He's seated on His throne. He's exalted at the Father's right hand. and his reign and his rule, it's established forevermore. Although his enemies have not yet been made his footstool. They have not yet come or been brought into full submission to Jesus. Now, sin is defeated, but sin still ravages us, right? Satan is conquered, but Satan still can oppress us. Death has been undone, but it still bites. The kingdom has come in Jesus. And yet, it's not fully here. I think that's the reason why it says the kingdom is coming. It's coming as the gospel goes forth in this world, as people share the good news of Jesus, the Jesus who died in their place, the Jesus who bore their sins and shame on the cross, a Jesus that rose again to make everyone right with God. Paul says, so it is with every person who believes. God, in Colossians 1:13, Paul says, God the Father has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Folks, that's kingdom language. So when we come to a place in our faith in Jesus Christ, we come as His adopted sons or daughters. We're transferred from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light, a kingdom of His beloved Son. That's also kingdom language. When people confess that Jesus is Lord, and His kingdom expands, as each life in this world is surrendered to Jesus. That's kingdom language. But unfortunately, we as church people, we don't see the connection properly between the kingdom of God and the life of the church. Now, the Bible puts it together in Acts chapter 28, verse 31. Paul said he went about proclaiming the kingdom of God. Proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said he taught with all boldness and without hindrance. It's the job of the church. That's the work of the church. As churches are being planted, even as Paul went on his missionary journeys, as he birthed new churches, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus actually gives the keys to the kingdom to the church. To the church. So the kingdom of God is coming as Jesus builds His church. He also said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But yet the kingdom of God is not fully come yet. In Luke 19, just prior to the triumphal entry into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, Jesus tells a parable. But probably because they felt that the kingdom was going to be immediate. So he talked about a nobleman who owned property, went into a foreign country. He went into a foreign country to receive a kingdom. And what is it said in the story? He returned. Jesus is trying to correct that misconception that the kingdom was going to come this week. No, 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 no. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. But I'm going to be raised. I'm going to ascend to the Father. I'm going to heaven. Then I'm going to return one day. And when I come back, it's at that time the kingdom is going to be in its fullness. Jesus says, not for us to know the time or the season. Don't worry about when the kingdom's coming. Why? Because you have a job to do. Jesus said his words, go into all the world in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. The kingdom of God will come, he says, in my Father's timetable. Yep, one day I will return. One day his kingdom will come in all of its fullness. And one day all that's broken is going to be mended. Isn't that great? Everything that's marred is going to become beautiful. Everything that's wounded is going to be healed. And everything that's wrong is going to be righted. And everything that's sad, it's going to go away. Because in Revelation it says, all the kingdoms of this world, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. So, there's a sense that the kingdom has always been with us, a sense that it came in Jesus, a sense that it's still coming, and a sense that it's yet to come. But all of this happens on God's timetable. So why pray for it? Why pray for it? Because when we pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, we're acknowledging God is king. God is your king. I'm not a king. When we pray this prayer, we're submitting to his rule in our lives. Not my will, but thine be done. When we pray this prayer, we're aligning our hearts with God's. We're saying, God, have thine own way in me and in this world. You see, what God wants most is the redemption of all things, everything. And what we're saying, God, come on down, have your way. There's three prepositions I want us to close with. And kind of like, think of it as three levels of this prayer. First, your kingdom come in me. Father, I'm submitting myself to your kingdom, to your throne. Not my will, but yours be done. You be my Lord, be my Savior, be my King, be my everything. I'm here. I'm yours. Oh, isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? Secondly, your kingdom come through me. Each of us has a little kingdom over which we have say. You shape your homes, you express yourselves, you influence other people, you touch other people's lives. So if we're thinking about this, we can ask some questions. What would it look like if my life was like Jesus? What would my home look like? What would my business look like? What would my life look like? What would my wife look like? What would my life look like? How would Jesus live my life? Remember the bracelets? What would Jesus do? How will we serve others? And the third preposition, your kingdom come and take over us. This old broken world, it's never going to be fully right until Jesus returns. You can't bring it. I can't bring it. No social action can bring it. Especially no political conniving can bring it. But the kingdom of God will come when Jesus returns. And He's going to mend everything. He's going to mend this broken world. He's going to make it beautiful, everything that was marred. He's going to heal the wounded. He's going to make it right, all the wrong. And He's going to make everything sad go away. One of my favorite passages is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, are you listening? The dwelling place of God is with man. Jesus is returning. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. Amen? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Behold, I am making all things new. Your kingdom come. Lord, take over. Said in a different way, as John said it, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's the same thing. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it's in heaven. He's saying, and we're saying this morning, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen.
Let's close our service this morning singing, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. The altar is always open in this place if you would like to come and pray.
We serve a great God, folks.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Knock at the door, shall be Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father, Lord, we can't wait till your kingdom comes. Lord, we just look to the skies every morning. Can this be the day? Oh, Lord, help us to go forth from this place as we share, as we go out and help bring your kingdom to this earth. Give us strength, courage, and desire. In Jesus' name, amen.